welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Today's topic is semiconductor design acceleration. With me is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
Our guest today is semiconductor veteran who is currently CTO of NetApp, Michael Johnson. Good morning, Michael, and welcome to our podcast.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, Michael, first, let's start with how you came to semiconductors and what brought you to NetApp.
Oh, that's a funny story, actually. I guess at this age of my life, it's probably fair for me to say it. After my first job out of college, I got a job offer to go work at IBM down at Cottle Road in San Jose, doing disk drives like my father before me. And our good family friend, a colleague of my father's from IBM, Chuck Haggerty, had just taken over as CEO at Western Digital. And when he heard that I was going to work at IBM, he said, "Hell no." And so he said, "Send over your resume. We got to get you a job over here." And so his wife reviewed my resume and they circulated around. And I guess at this point in my career, I can say I got a nepotism job at Western Digital in their Paradise Graphics business unit, which then he very shortly thereafter sold off to Philips Semiconductor, which turned out to be a windfall for me, again, through nepotism. I was one of the important people they needed to keep around, even though I was still green and didn't know what I was doing. But that's what brought me to a fantastic 10-year career building digital TV chips at Philips Semiconductor and meeting all kinds of people in the industry, building those first Nexperia chips. I later went to Cadence Design Systems, and then Mike Gianfagni and I got to work together at Trenta, promoting the Spyglass suite of products, where I was field application engineering manager. And then I took a total detour, and via a close friend of mine, he asked me to come over to NetApp to help translate EDA speak to NetApp storage speak. And I've been here for about 6 years.
Yeah, I remember we first met at Trenta years ago. So MJ, we were talking before the podcast, and you said that one of your customers has reduced the time it takes an RTL engineer to create a workspace from 45 to 60 minutes to about 5 minutes, which is, you know, significant. It seems impossible, but first, tell our listeners what a workspace is, how engineers use it, and then tell us how, you know, you can make one in 5 minutes.
Yeah, sure. You know, every day developers come into the office and they need to get a copy of the design so they can either modify the design, fix a bug, develop new tests, work on PPA. And so what do? They come in and then they check out code from some version control tool like Perforce or IC Manage or SOS. Or even if you're a software developer, you might be using something like Git or GitHub or GitLab. Once the code is checked out, you know, many semiconductor flows nowadays either copy pre-compiled libraries or run some pre-processing scripts before the simulations or you know, Spyglass, you know, code checks or synthesis or DFT testing can even start. And this takes quite a long time. Many of our customers have, you know, tell us that code checkout and pre-processing can take as long as an hour. And then building those simulation or synthesis views can take easily another hour or more to build that local workspace. This is actually just unproductive developer time that seems part of the job. It's something we've traditionally done our whole career, but it consumes both people time and valuable compute licenses and resources and compute resources. So, you know, we think we can do better. A number of our semiconductor customers, as well as software development customers, have accelerated their development by using the power of NetApp's ONTAP data management operating system. Instead of building a workspace from scratch, They are simply making a RESTful API call to the storage operating system to make an almost instantaneous storage efficient copy of a pre-built workspace using our snapshot and flex clone technologies. You can think of this as like a graphics accelerator for data. Offload from the Unix operating system a copy command and offload it to the storage operating system. We have seen workspace creation times reduced from hours to minutes. One specific customer, I wish I could use them as a reference, their build checkout times went from about 45 minutes down to 5 minutes. The clone time was about 30 seconds. They had to run a little bit of extra processing on their environment, but that's a 9x speed up in the time it takes to create that workspace. If you can make a single API call and make an almost instantaneous read-only backup of your data snapshot, and then create a read-writable copy of any nearly arbitrary size of data, which we call a flex clone, without consuming any disk space, how might you re-envision your design environment, right? What would your design flow look like? That's really what we're putting on the table here, you know? And then I just want to clarify, what is ONTAP? ONTAP is the NetApp storage operating system most of your listeners have been using for the last 20 years to develop semiconductor devices. You all know your snapshots because it's probably saved your ass a few times when you've deleted a file or modified a file. You knew that you could CD into that .snapshot directory and find a backup copy of a file you might have deleted. You know, ONTAP has been key to your development environments for years. But what we've found is that most customers aren't really using it to all the capabilities that that are available to them in the context of semiconductor design.
That's a good example. But you know what you're talking about is front-end design. So what about the rest of the design flow? How does that work?
As I said, it can be used for any volume of data. We see data replication and data experimentation as part of the modern semiconductor development flow. DSO.ai from Synopsys has been in the news a ton recently, takes the idea of what if scenarios to a whole nother level. Instead of doing one run at a time, what if you could checkpoint your design, then replicate it 20 times and then run 20 different what if scenarios on that data? What impact might that have on PPA, on quality, on innovation? In the past, the copy time alone would have made this impossible. But what if the copy time was 30 seconds and each copy took only the incremental space used by any of the incremental data that's generated? There's so many use cases that imagination is really the only limitation. The key is getting these APIs and capabilities integrated into our customers' design environments. Other use cases that we are exploring and we see customers interested in are things like incremental emulation builds. There's been interest around tools like Calibre Recon for using fast CI and repair of LVSDRC runs, faster check-in build processes. And then even things just like chip rollback and snapshots to point of create an instant point in time backup of a version of a project. Those are all interesting use cases.
That's good overview, MJ. By the way, I have fond memories of our time together at Atrenta. I think we did some great things there. So good memories. So let's get back to NetApp's technology in terms of how it's different from other storage vendors. What would be the major points you would make there?
Yeah, so one of the technologies that first brought NetApp onto the stage was, you know, we've always been the leader in NAS or network attached storage and NFS performance and scale out performance. So that's why we continue in the semiconductor space to be, number one in that space. Specifically in the use cases that I'm talking about, we've developed a set of very simple to use RESTful APIs that allow integration and software control at an application layer of data and to help manage the cost of and the agility of data. So APIs for easy integration. We have copy on write, which means when we create these snapshots or when we create clones, we're not actually moving data. We're under the hood just managing the pointers or the blocks of data under the hood. You know, again, we're a graphics accelerator for data. You know, we believe that technology integrated into chip design flows can dramatically reduce the development time, increase developer productivity, and significantly reduce EDA license and infrastructure costs. It's through innovations like these that we can really change the cost curve of 7, 5, and 3 nanometer design. For those of you who haven't really been paying attention, 3 nanometer design is expected to result in a 4x increase in data, in the design of databases. So something really needs to fundamentally change in the way that data is handled, and it needs to be accelerated. And I think NetApp, ONTAP technologies are the solution that our customers will be looking at.
Thank you. I love your analogy of being like a graphics accelerator for data. That really kind of drives the point home. I want to change it up a little bit. You know, recently SemiWiki covered how NetApp is enabling EDA in the cloud, which is a white hot topic these days. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more your approach there for the cloud?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic I've been watching for quite a number of years. I would say at this point, just about every major semiconductor company has run a POC in one or more of the clouds. Most of those POCs have been successful, but adoption has still been slow. But I believe it's gaining speed, and it's being driven by the challenges associated with the FinFET 7, 5, and 3, you know, nanometer process nodes. You know, the data growth is ginormous, and the need for compute scale to be paired with the data growth is a huge challenge that's driving teams to the cloud. The biggest issue that I have seen with the cloud adoption is, number one, cost. We haven't been able to get the economics of cloud in the same realm as running your own data centers. And so, in my opinion, cost has been the number one issue. Data management challenges have been a key issue. Part of that is the tools in the cloud, the storage in the cloud looks so much different than what's available and what they're used to on-prem. So there's challenges to processes and people processes and things like that that are an issue. And then the number three issue is security. I think security used to be number one. I remember, Mike, you and I talking back at Atrenta, oh, people won't put their design data in the cloud.
Yep.
I think security will always be an issue. But I think the cloud issues have been primarily addressed. The trust issues have been addressed, even with all the third-party IP that is getting moved into the cloud. Security is something that our customers will always have to be vigilant about. But I think security is no longer the number one issue. And so I think that's driving some of that. There are kind of three key NetApp ONTAP technologies that we've even written about in SemiWiki blogs along with you that are helping with solving cloud adoption issues. The first one is something that's called Cloud Volumes ONTAP. And as the name kind of implies, this is a virtualized version of NetApp's tried and true ONTAP operating system running in any of the three clouds, AWS, Azure, or Google. You can spin up the storage operating system using the cloud's native compute and storage platform, and we can help spin that up as a service. And this means that the same data management tools that you use on-prem, the same protocols that you use, the same reporting mechanism and automation tools that your teams are used to just work in the cloud. So we can think about, is the cloud just another data center? So most of our customers have been doing multi-site, multi-data center development for years, right? Most of our customers have sites in India and Europe, and here in the US, and they manage their data and their projects across data centers. We see Cloud Volumes ONTAP as just helping make your cloud of choice just another data center that you already know how to manage. The other technology I think that is super key is NetApp's ONTAP Flex Cache capability. And this is a feature function that came back to our storage operating system 2.5 years ago. And it's a technology that allows you to create a volume of storage in the cloud on Cloud Volumes ONTAP. But what you do is, instead of saying this is an empty volume of storage, you instead say this volume is associated with this source of volume that maybe is back in your data center. And what happens is your tools and your libraries and your design files are almost instantaneously visible in the cloud in this cached volume. So almost instantly, once you create this volume, if you did an LS or a find in that volume, that volume of storage would look identical to your library or tools volumes on-prem. Now, the data hasn't actually transferred to the cloud yet. The data gets transferred to the cloud on first read of it, or if you choose to pre-warm a cache. So you could pre-warm it, say, hey, I need these particular libraries and this particular version of tools, and then ONTAP will automatically populate that. But most of you, most of the listeners on this podcast will recognize that there's probably years worth of tech libraries. There's years of Cadence Synopsys and Siemens EDA tools installed in those tools and library directories that aren't needed for that version of the design running in the cloud. So FlexCache makes it very easy to move just the data that's absolutely needed into the cloud. So one of the use models of FlexCache is something we call reverse cache, which is an interesting use model of, I just talked about how you can quickly move tools and libraries into the cloud. But what some of our customers have talked about, and actually talked about it at events like Snug and AWS reInvent, is how they use the ONTAP operating system to then cache back the results of their cloud-based runs back into on-prem. So instead of developers having to log into the cloud to debug their design, their results are cached back. And so if you just want to open a log file, you don't need to bring all the results back. You only bring the parts you want back. And that dramatically improves productivity, simplifies the adoption by your developers who probably aren't very cloud savvy. The third technology that's really driving adoption, and we believe is going to be a game changer in the cost element of cloud, is a recent acquisition of a company called Spot by NetApp. Spot Elastic Group, which is a Spot product, is a tool that allows, that enables the cost-effective spinning up of the compute resources in the cloud. And the reason the name Spot came along is there's such things called the Spot instance, where you can buy market competitive, low cost instances of compute. And then Spot basically manages the utilization of the least expensive resources that match your requirement. Our Spot team has been doing some significant integration between the Spot Elastigroup compute scaler and LSF, the load sharing tool that most of our customers have used. It also works with the Grid Engine load balancer too. We've seen one of our customers had an 80% reduction in the cost of compute in AWS, right, using Spot instances. So when we talked about the reasons that cloud has not been adopted for semiconductor, the number one is cost, which Spot can help with. Number two is data management and data management challenges, which FlexCache and ONTAP operating system really support. We believe between those three technologies, it'll be a game changer to really drive down the cost and improve manageability of these environments.
That's a great overview of the technology. That's very helpful. Thank you. I know it's difficult sometimes to talk about real customer scenarios, but Can you give us one example of a real design problem that was solved with this technology, a particular customer problem that was cut down to size with this?
Sure. We had an emulation customer, a ZeBu emulation customer, who was doing development out of their Austin design center. And they said, hey, we just learned about your FlexCache technology. That's really cool. That reverse use model where you bring the results back, does that mean that like we could maybe compile our emulation views in one of our data centers that has more compute capacity and then bring it back to our Austin emulation lab, which has much fewer compute capabilities? And we're like, yeah, of course, that would work. But you know what might actually give you more bang for the buck than that is, what if you went up into AWS where you had effectively unlimited compute capacity and your emulation licenses aren't, your compile licenses aren't limited by how many compute you have? What if you could double or triple the amount of servers you have building your emulation design? And then what you do is, all after your design is done building in say half or a third of the time, then what if you just bring back the files that make up the FPGA builds and the debug views? What if you then cache those back into your emulation lab? So sure, there might be some data transfer time, but I would bet you that data transfer time is just a fraction of the time saved by compile at scale, at compute scale. And what we see are use models like this, as just another example of how these technologies applied to the design flow process, dramatically speeding up development.
Michael, I know NetApp has a dedicated EDA practice team. Can you tell me what that looks like today?
Sure. We've assembled a group of both business, technical, and marketing specialists to focus on this specific vertical. The team is collaborating with EDA and cloud providers. We are exploring new use cases, creating reference flows and architectures. And most importantly, we're developing closer collaboration with our customers' design teams. We've traditionally been focused on IT organizations, but we're really focusing on the design teams that are actually creating and using and struggling with the massive data that they use in their design flows. So, and that's really important. Our team is also focused on new technologies like AI in the semiconductor space. Our team, along with our AI core team, is working very closely with NVIDIA. We are public partners in that endeavor to drive new AI solutions, both from a data management point of view, as well as an AI learning point of view. Tools like DSO.ai, again, is another reference, but we see AI throughout the EDA space, as well as in many of our largest customers where they're learning to use data more effectively to accelerate design. So those are some of the things that we're focusing on as a team.
Great. This is a good place to stop. I want to thank everyone for participating in the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, great discussion, MJ. Always good to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.